We're going to begin a Bible study, or Clarence will begin a Bible study in 2 weeks, so mark it down. You'll get more information on that Bible study. It will not be here. We don't want inconvenience too much. Dora and Mario, excuse me. I've been away too long, I don't know. But anyway, coming here early kind of caused a problem. They have events the night before and it goes late and so forth. So, Tom and Lynn have volunteered their house for the Bible study. And that'll be at 9 o'clock of a morning. We kind of fished around and thought about having it here after church. But after church and the message is done, everybody's ready to go eat and they're tired and so forth. So 2 weeks from now, we'll start that. Tom and Lynn, thank you so much for opening up your doors. And one request we have is all of you interested in that Bible study, if you'll just check in with Clarence back here at this back table before you leave here today when we're through with the service, if you'll just check in, let him know. He'll fill you in. We'll have directions printed probably next week in the bulletin or whatever, how to get there. And we'll just go right on, and you'll have your Bible study, and you can come over here. You're not that far. Time does it take you to get here? It's not very much, is it? 10 minutes. So we'll just do it that way. We don't stop. We just find another way. We just keep on going. And so that's what we're going to do here. And never let anything hold you up. Just go around. Can't go over it, go around it. In the military, if we couldn't go over it, couldn't go around it, we blew it up. So one way or another, we got through the thing, and we found a way. Find a way. There's always one more thing you can do. There's something else. So there you are. I want to say also, for those I mentioned earlier, but there are people listening, and especially those involved in this, and Daniel and his family, I want to say first to Clarence, I want everybody to know, Clarence does a great job, and thank you for filling in for me and allowing me the opportunity to do what I need to do. So I'll give him a hand. I appreciate that. Then for Daniel and Summer and Riley, all I can say is I have not heard anything but the finest, the best, the tremendous job, the beautiful voice of Riley, and the powerful message that Summer had in her testimony. I listened to that. I was just thought what courage it takes to share something of that caliber and to know that people know and you've had to live with it all your life. And she found out in high school or in early college, whenever. But anyway, bless your heart. Y'all did great. Everybody loves you here. And I will say of Daniel, I listened to his message. Boy, you're talking about somebody that likes to work with charts. There's a guy who works with charts. Daniel is a pastor that I would trust anywhere, anytime, and I don't say that lightly. That's why you don't see pastors come here and preach for me. But he and I have a special relationship, a special trust with each other. We counsel together. We tag team. Bless some poor hearts up there when both of us are tag teaming them on whatever their issue is. If I miss something, he's got it. If he misses something, I've got it. They usually go out crying, want their mother, and never come back. But anyway, he's one of the finest pastors I've ever worked with, probably ever will work with. His future's bright. Started with a little bitty group of people, I don't know, 10, 12 people. They're running 120 plus now. And they're just on the south side of Junction and going strong. He's even contrived. This is what youth can do. And they have their acreage out there in a place, and they've built an outside drive-in movie screen where you can sit in your cars and watch Christian movies on Friday night. How cool is that, right? And that draws people. That is a fantastic thing, and I'm so glad to be a part, and have been a part for these nearly 15 years of his life and their lives and ministry. So God bless you all, and what a wonderful thing. Junction needs him, and Kimball County needs him, and a lot of folks, he grew up, went to school there, so and it's one of those rare people that, it says a prophet's not honored in his own country, but he's honored there because he didn't do the things, or at least he got away with them if he did. The stuff that we often do in youth. And anyway, keep them in your prayers. Keep their family in your prayers. You know the devil doesn't like it when somebody comes and does a good job with God. So keep them prayed up. Keep me prayed up. I need it. I've got a lot of VA things that we're going through. Keep Tom prayed up. He's going through VA things right and left. They see us more at the VA than anywhere else, don't they? I mean, you know, I'm carrying a pillow now and a blanket just up there. You know, I've got so many appointments. But it's just part of the life, and it goes with it. So keep us in your prayers. Keep him in your prayers. And keep this big guy back here in your prayers. Yeah, I'll tell on him. You know, and it's Clayton back there. They won't tell on you. But I can tell on you. It's okay. I can tell now. I'm going to anyway. Okay. So you had to put him in the hospital. And they won't tell you. And I appreciate that. We're taught not to, aren't we? Suck it up. Do what you got to do. But he got to bleeding pretty good in his stomach. And turned out to be a bleeding ulcer. And some of you have had those. So it's going to take time. But it's going to take God. And keep him in your prayers. You're going to be well. It's going to be good. It's going to be just great. I don't want to push, you know, Brene, but this was, you know, those little things I was talking about earlier, crawl around, and that starts, you know, okay, anyway. I'm really pushing her on that. And she hits back hard, so I don't want to push too much. Let's get into this message. I had this message prepared before I left. Two of them. One of them I want to bring in the next few weeks. Maybe next week, just how God leads. But it is literally on what the Bible is, what we believe, why we believe it. And sometimes we just need that. But for today, this is just, I title this Well-Pleasing in His Sight. God wants us well-pleasing to Him. And there's some things that He wants you to realize, wants me to realize, that keeps us well-pleasing. And not necessarily that just, you know, you could say it makes God happy with us, it well-pleasing. He's happy we accepted Jesus. He's grieved when we deny Jesus. We deny Jesus when we're committing willful sin and we won't admit it. When we won't come out with it. We won't be transparent. When we blame other people for our own sins and failures, that grieves the Holy Spirit. God's not thoroughly pleased with that. And this is just on how to be well-pleasing in His sight. It's on Hebrews 13 we'll use for our reference. This is more of a topical message. I usually do expository verse by verse, word by word, not this time. This is our passage that leads us to say, here's how we fulfill this passage in a lot of ways. So Hebrews 13, and we begin with verse 20, and you can see it up there. And it goes like this through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work. You hear that? Make you complete in every good work to do His will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And you say, okay, he's created me for good work. Sure He did. And He's done it to do what? The good works are His, to fulfill His will. So let's just barrel right into this and say, how in the world do I become well-pleasing in His sight? And I hope you'll jot a few things down, remember this, record it, do something. Because this not only will help you be well-pleasing in God's sight, it'll help you be very pleasing in the sight of others too, especially those that you have relationships with. And the first of these, and it's critical to learn this, is learn to listen. Learn to listen. You've got to learn how to listen and to God. How to hear Him. Don't just read His Word. Don't just say a prayer and then forget what it was about. Listen to God. Listen to Him. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you right now. Listen, I've spent time in lots of places. And we were talking a moment ago about those dunes, the white sand dunes. And anybody been to White Sands? You ever got a little sled or something and slide down those dunes? When I'm up there, I take a little sled, and I'm like a little boy, and it's one of those. It's a little plastic sled, just like kids used to use to, you know, slide in the snow. And I climb those dunes, get in that sled, and zoom down to the bottom. And you hit the bottom and flip over and roll around like a monkey, you know. And then, but guess what? Other people are there, and then others see you doing it. And I've had people say, "Well, if you can do that, I can do it." And I've walked with them up there, you know, and they sit in the sled, and I put wax on the bottom of it, and so it just zoom down the dunes. And you just find fun in life. But what I'm getting at is, learn to listen. Learn to listen to what God's prompting you to do, what His Word says to do. Learn to listen to what's going on around you. And I love to go off in the aspens and the woods, and I hear God in those places. I see God. I feel God. Sometimes, and I'm telling you, I like to, especially those aspen trees, the Quakeys we call them, and their leaves turn golden in the fall, and the whole tree will just start shivering, and those little golden leaves just clacking together. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. I just love going up in those thickets and just all over the place. But I put my hands on the aspen and just stand there. Now you can smile, laugh, whatever you want to, but it's like I can feel life in that tree. I just sense something so amazing, so powerful. And it's like God just speaks like that. And no, do you see I made this for you? Do you see that I didn't just do this for fun? I did this so you could stand here and touch this tree and appreciate something and get back to where you should be. All we touch is metal and plastic. God created something real and alive and special for us. And get away from, just move yourself away from the plastic and the junk and the metal. And get out, and you don't have to go up in the mountains to do it. You just find you a place sometimes. You just put your feet in the water, you know, in a pond, in a lake, somewhere, and just say, I want to get back in touch with what God made for me. He didn't do this for, you know, just have something to do. He made it for you and me. And He wants you to learn to listen to Him in it. And you put your feet in the water, and you look at your reflection in the water, and you stand there, and there's some places I've been where you look down and you see the reflection of the mountains and the sky and the water like they're right there down in the water. Yeah, you know, and you're just going, beautiful. And He said, yes, it is, and that's the way I see you. When I look at you on this earth, that's what I see. My beautiful little mountain. My beautiful Tony the Aspen tree. You think that this means something to you? Do you realize what you mean to me when I look at you? Do you realize that I want to put my hands upon you and feel your presence? And I want you to feel mine holding you? You sit and you take your boots or shoes off and you put your feet in that cool water. And He's saying, don't you realize water is the substance of life, fear, physical life? And it's also how you relate to the Holy Spirit. He's the living water of Christ. And He wants you filled with Himself to overflow as rivers of living water. Get back in touch and realize what that means. and how refreshing it is. And when the Holy Spirit fills you and me to overflowing as rivers of living water, now we're doing that same thing for other people. We're allowing them to dangle themselves in the cool, refreshing water of the Holy Spirit. We're all life givers. Christ in me, my hope of glory, and it's Jesus living in and through me and giving life to people through each one of us. So he says, I want you to learn to listen. I want you to listen to me in the trees and the grass and the soil. I want you to listen to me everywhere you go. God is saying this. Listen, learn to listen. Because when I learn to listen, I learn to love. I learned to forgive. Sounds like you've been having a lot of messages lately on forgiveness. Now, I think two in a row, right? And I've been hitting on it a lot because I've been prompted by the Holy Spirit. So whoever it is that's not forgiving, would you please forgive? Get over it. Let's go. See, God's speaking to us all the time. This country and this world lost a really incredible young leader, assassinated, and everybody's grieving, and we should, and it's just so hurt. Did you hear God in any of that? Did you hear God saying anything to you? Did you hear God saying, I took the one little grain, Charlie Kirk, and I planted him in the ground, and when a seed is planted in the ground, it sprouts and brings forth life and plants. And now there's more organizations, more ministry, more college kids listening to the message than ever before. I want to be that way myself. Daniel is headed that way. That when that time comes and God calls him up, there will be so much life flow forth from that, from seeds planted, from what grows from his own being taken up. I want that for myself. I pray that God is using me and will use me in a way. It's like, Tony, what you were before now is magnified in so many people's lives. For the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, we all, it was horrific, horrible, beyond comprehension, and yet, how fascinating and fantastic beyond comprehension is what's flowing from it. Learn to listen, to say, instead of saying, God, how could you? Why did you? Saying, God, what's in it? What are you saying? Speak to me. Let me hear you through this grief and this pain. Let me hear you. Everybody screaming and going, let me hear your small, still voice. What are you saying? What are you about to do? And what's my part in this plan? Let me tell you something. As I learn to listen to God, I learn to listen to you. As you learn to listen to God, you learn to listen to each other. Learn to listen to what's not being said. Yeah. In relationships, it's not always what's being said, it's what's not being said. What do their eyes say? Facial expressions. Tenseness or looseness of body. Clenched fist. Twirling fingers. What are they saying to you? Ladies, so often, and I go through this, and we, you know, Daniel and I work on this, but, you know, and I'll tell ladies, I'm saying, this whole time we've been sitting here, you know, you've kind of kept your arm up here and crossed. That means you're afraid to tell me what's really on your heart because you're afraid I'm going to reject you for it. You're holding in. Guys, learn to look. for those things. Ladies, when he turns his face away and he's looking at something else, learn to listen. What is it about this conversation that's not going well? What is it maybe we just need to stop for a moment? Learn to listen. Learn to listen with your heart, not just these things, these ears. God wants us to listen to Him so we can listen to people. Listen to circumstances. When things happen, listen. God's in this somewhere. He says He causes everything to work for the good of those that love Him or called according to His purpose. So where are you here, God? This is tragedy. This is that. This is sadness. Or I don't know, you know, whatever it is. Catastrophe or good. What are you saying? First thing we ought to ask is not why did you allow it? How could you, God? Instead, we need to ask, what's my part in this? What do you want me to do? Where am I in this? I'm your servant. How can I be used by you today? Secondly, listen. And learn God's story. You ever thought about it? God touched my heart with this, and I just like, why in the world is it taking this long for me to quite get this aspect of you, Lord? It's like, you know, Tony, I want my people. This is what I felt in writing this. I want my people to hear my story. I have a story to tell them about me, about themselves, about life. Now, as I begin to work on this and say your story, it's like, yes, I have a story of the creation in the Garden of Eden. It's my story. It's your story too. You're my people through your acceptance of Christ, your remission of sins. But God wants to tell you His story. He wants to tell you what He did in the garden. He wants to tell you what He did before the garden. He wants to tell you how His Spirit moved across the firmament. How He created the heavens and the earth. How He set the boundaries for the oceans. How He made all the things of the sea and the living creatures on earth, and how He made you and me. He wants you to hear His story and to really pay attention to it. How long has it been, really, since you listened to God's story? He's telling you about Himself. He wants me to know Him well enough, that well, so I can realize this is a book about Himself. So often I read it, what's in it for me? Instead of, what's in it for you? This is the story of yourself. Yes. I want you to know it. I want you to know what I did. I want you to know all the things that have come from it. The good and the bad. That's my story. I want you to know how from Adam and Eve and all the things that came from that. How one day, you know, I spoke to Abraham. And how I used my people that were enslaved in Egypt in 400 years plus. And I called them out and marched them across that barren, desolate country. And how I took them in to the promised land of milk and honey. Said, I want you to know how I've met my servants in caves where they were hiding. I brought them food in the wilderness when they were sin, were hungry. I brought water forth when they were thirsty. I want you to hear my story. Why? It's His story. His story. And I want you to know. He said, I want you to know my history. I want you to know that when it's barren for you, and it's dry, and you don't know if you can make it another day emotionally, spiritually. He said, I want you to know that suddenly in your life will gush forth the rivers of living water, and I'll bring you life. When you think you have not one more step to take, you can't make it, you're dropping in the dirt, water will gush forth, and I, the living God, have done it before, and I'll do it again. You got to know His story to know He can do it. To know that He will allow His people to go to the bitter edge. Why? So they'll quit depending on themselves or somebody else. So they finally look to Him and say, God, help me. Without You, I perish. And He said, that's what I've been waiting for. Here comes the man of heaven. You're probably not going with me. Want me to go on vacation too often or miss a Sunday, are you? Man, you see this in here? If I know the story, I know He's done it. He'll do it again. And I know if He listens to the cry of widows and suffering people, His servant David, when he was hiding in the caves from Saul and felt so alone and abandoned, and God was there though. In this story, let God tell His story. Let Jesus tell His story of how He came into this, how He was prophesied into it. And let His story become your story. Instead of whining and complaining and going on about our faults and our sins and what they did to me and all I want to do to them, where is the place where we begin to say, it's not about me anymore. It's about Him. It's about God. It's about my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm here on this earth to tell people His story. Let Him share His story through you. Because His story is one of love and grace, forgiveness, redemption. You know what His great story is? Sacrifice. The sacrificing of an almighty God for a sinful people. Allow God. By the way, his third point, I won't harp on it too long. We won't camp on this one, but just to say this in a few words, allow God to give you His best. Some of you are fighting God, resisting God. You don't even know it. You know why? Because you're praying a certain way and looking for the answer a certain way. And God says, I'm coming from this way. And you keep looking over here and you miss it every time. Open this door because you want it that way. And I have a greater blessing if you just look to the left. Look to the right. Let God give you His best. Let God bring the best into your life. He's given you the best of the best, which is Jesus Christ, but now He has other gifts to give you. Why are you looking for healing over in this door when God said, I'm standing right here in this door going, hey, take it. And you're saying, no, it's got to, this is, God, this is the way I've been taught to pray. This is the way I've been taught You work. This is what I've been told about how God does things. And God's saying, well, that's not the way I do things. Have you ever seen God do things just one certain way? He does them like the wind. Where does the wind come from? I don't know. Where's it going? I don't know. But it sure passed me by. And I felt it. That's the way God is. He comes and He moves. And don't look for Him to do it the way that you've been told God's going to do. Now, if you'll just do X. You ever been told that, right? Taught that somewhere? If you just do X plus this, it'll come out Z. And God says, you want to bet? I don't work by formulas. I don't work by man-made, concept of how I'm supposed to be. I just do. So when you're looking for God and you want His best, you look for it everywhere. Where is it? Ask, right? He said, ask me. But then what did He say? Seek. Look around. And knock. Is this it? Is this it? And God, if it's not it, don't open that door. Is this it? Is this it? Oh, that's it. I sure didn't think you'd do it that way. How many of you have experienced that in life? That's right. And you have a lot more to experience. God loves to surprise us. So don't get caught up in this one-track mind and get what one of the most dangerous things of all that in certain situations, it's got people killed. And it's called tunnel vision. One of the traps of the enemies, the bad guys out there, the bad dudes, was to get you to focus on some event. Something's going on, firing, shooting, this is happening, and you get focused on that, and they're sneaking around and flanking you the whole time. And that's the way the devil works. So don't get focused. Don't get tunnel vision. Don't get tunnel vision with God and saying, well, I was taught and I grew up in a certain church denomination, and they said when you pray or this or that, this is the way it's going to work. I know it doesn't matter what they said. It matters what He said. Learn His story and you'll find that God works in any way He wants to work when you least expect Him to work. Enough. Enough. Just know this. God has given you Jesus. You accepted Jesus. So accept His best for your life. Ask for it. Seek it. Knock on those doors, and more there it'll be. And let's move on. We'll close this thing here. Oh, yeah, we need to do that. Let you go. You hungry? I'm hungry a little bit. So, begin enjoying God, by the way. Begin enjoying God. Did you know that I had to miss a Sunday or two to rediscover more humor in my life? To rediscover that God has a sense of humor. We get so serious. Now listen, God is serious. This book, this is serious. Salvation is serious. Hell is serious. Heaven is serious. But God has a wonderful sense of humor. All you have to do, get out somewhere, sit down, and watch people. You ever get to looking real close at side profiles? You ever notice how noses hook, push to side, droop down? You ever notice that you know it just all how people's ears are weird? You ever notice on a lot of people, a lot of guys, for some reason their earlobes just start hanging down, and some people's ears start turning at the top. It's weird. And then you ever see these long eyelashes? Women dream of long eyelashes. And there are these guys that are just born with them. I had someone not long ago, well, as a matter of fact, on my journeys, say, how did you get away with long eyelashes like that? And it's like, I don't know. Now I'm growing an eyelash clear across my lip. I've had it for years right there. See? Watch people. And you really, listen. And just see the little perky noses, strange foreheads, and the things, the gestures and the habits that people have. And we're funny. And, you know, it's like God created this. I mean, what a sense of humor. I know some of you may not think it's very funny. You're saying, if you had my ears, my nose that you just described, would you think that was funny? I do from this point. I don't know if I were you, but you learn to enjoy. Watch birds, watch animals. They're funny. They do the most interesting things. God, get out of your dark chamber, your cave that you're in, and start. Literally, the old smelling the roses thing, but learn to smile and enjoy. I mean, just enjoy the weird. Have you ever been around somebody and a gnat or something, they sucked it up in their throat? and they're just gagging and going on, and you're trying your best not to laugh in front of them. But it's funny. I saw this movie, I think it was called, years ago, and Pure Luck. Oh, I love that. Oh, you do? Oh, yeah, you remember? Yeah, in the bee sting. And you remember in the airport when he puts a straw in the orange juice and he's carrying on drinking and he goes to drink the orange juice, sticks the straw up his nose. You know, and we're funny. And he walks into a glass door at the airport. And it's Pure Luck. You got to see it. You'll feel so much better about your life if you watch that movie. Danny Glover, and I don't remember who else it was. But, you know, I'm glad you saw that. Martin Short. Martin, yeah, Short. That, good for you. Oh, yeah. It just makes me laugh. God made us different. He wants you to be able to look, and not make fun of people, but just look around and see, that's hilarious. You ever watch hummingbirds at a feeder? They ever make you laugh? One little hummingbird will be sitting there minding its own business, and here comes another one and just knocks it right off. And you think, those cute little creatures are the meanest little snakes I've ever seen. And you just start laughing. Anyway, you get the idea. You know, God, get over yourself. Get over whatever it is out here. Get over your unforgiveness. Let me say this. You've been hearing a lot of this, but I thought this was just working on me and working on me up there. And finally, all I could come to the conclusion on this was this. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it to be mad at anybody. Or to hang on to mad, and it's just not worth it to be unforgiving. Let them go. And I had to stand there, I mean this, walking along. I pick up little rocks and things, I hold them in my hand, and I finally had to say, you know what? It's just not worth it, and they're not worth it. I know you love them, but I'm not going to carry them in my heart anymore. And God help me, I can't do it by myself. I'm sick of this. I am not going to carry this anymore. Why should I carry past, forgotten, dead people in my heart? Why should I carry their wounds, their smart remarks, their awful things they've done? Let it go. I'm done with it. I began to let go. I haven't done everything yet, but a whole bunch. I don't want anymore. Do you? God, come get it. Jesus said, come to me. You all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and only you'll find rest for your souls. I'm coming to him and saying, God, I've been hurt in my life. We lost our home. We got thrown out. All these nasty, sorry things that happened, and mom's condition, and all the abuse, and it's like, what are you going to do? Keep carrying her in your heart? You're going to miss me. You're going to get tunnel vision with it. You've had it for a long time because of it. Get over it. Give it to me. You think somebody was mean to you? Take a look at me. Look at that cross again. Get back into my story. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah. Listen to Summer's story last week, right? And suddenly you just let it fall, and it falls like the scales from Saul's eye after being knocked off the horse on the road to Damascus, and suddenly you see again. God, get free, friends. Get free from it. Get free where you lift out your arms and just breathe. And just say, thank you, God, I'm not a prisoner to my past anymore. I'm free in Christ. Yes. Yes. Closing. The words have come. He's closing. Let God bless you and become a blessing. Take all this you've heard and let him bless you with it, and then be a blessing. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And he's saying, instead of all the griping and complaining and the cussing and the carrying on, why don't you let praise and good and lifting people up come out of your mouth? Listen, listen, listen. You can say, well, they hurt my feelings. they did this to me, they did that to me. And let me tell you something, every moment that you won't let that go, listen to me, what they did to you, you don't realize it, but you're doing it to others with your attitude, with your face. Oh, I'm not good. I learned to emphasize the words there.
I'm speaking.
Okay. Hurt people, hurt people. And if you aren't letting God get you past that big bump in your life, that place where it happened, without realizing it, you're being critical and doing the same things that was done to you. And God says, let it go. Let me deal with it. They hurt my feelings. Well, I'm not going to go and hurt yours because of it. I'm going to be a blessing. Why? Because my God is bigger than those who hurt me, and I am now made bigger in Christ through those who hurt me. I stand above that. God's got me standing tall, and that's where I'm going to stay. And that ought to be your motto every day. God's bigger than this. He's made me bigger than this. Christ in me, my hope of glory, and I don't care. I'm going to be a blessing because I'm God's blessing, and now I'm going to turn around and pass it on to you. Father, we thank you for your word, your will, your presence, your power. We thank you that right now we can call on you in the name of Jesus Christ and we're healed, we're cleansed, we're delivered, we're set free, we're forgiven. Our loved ones who are hurting, things have happened to them, it's beyond comprehension, and yet our God's on the job, you know what to do. And you're doing it. Nothing is a mystery to you, God, only to us. And we open our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit as rivers of living water. Come, Lord Jesus, and set us free. Be a blessing to us, which you already are, and make us a blessing to others every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you for being here.